Hello, lads and lasses. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to Cow Daily. This is the Friday edition to wrap the week up. One of the things that's been bothering us this week is just the proliferation of lies. Well, we know this come from the Tories, but also from Labour front benches, well, across the back as well. So what we're going to talk about today and we're going to debunk is this narrative that's flying about around Jeremy Corbyn. Stemming from the Prime Minister himself, who stood up in the dispatch box at PMQs and just straight up lied about Jeremy Corbyn. It goes on to the leader of the House, Mordaunt, and also the Deputy Speaker as well. So before we get into all that, though, if you're watching this now, please go to the Cow Daily YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/CowDaily. Link in the description of this podcast. And there you will find the ability to help us monetize the channel. So that would be really good. We're about halfway there now. So it would be really good if you could go and do that. Drop a like and a comment on it. It would be tremendous. Also, if you want to directly support our work on the regs, patreon.com/CowDaily. That's patreon.com/CowDaily. Shouts to Dave who signed up today. Absolutely buzzing, mate. Thanks very much. Also, if you would like to make a one-off donation or work, link in the description for PayPal. You will find it. Let's see who's in. Hello there, everybody. Joanne, Jacqueline, Woz. I think Michael was in as well and others. Let us know if you're about and you're in. Right, let's crack on, good people. Right, what we've got, I've got a series of videos here, which I'm going to show you in the order that it happened. And then afterwards, we're going to debunk absolutely every bit of it. It's startling what's allowed to pass as, well, I was going to say politics, but we know politics is bad. Discourse, just common decency. But anyway, this is how it started. Sunak got himself up there talking his shit, and he's obviously trying to make a name for himself. But this is off the back of Starmer leaving him an open goal. Here we go.
The right honourable gentleman.
I think the front rows. Can we just calm it down a little? I do want to hear the replies. You're covering your mouth's not helpful to me or you. Come on, Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, the right honourable gentleman rightly raised the topic of national security, because it is important that this is the person who in 2019 told the BBC, and I quote, "I do think Jeremy Corbyn would make a great Prime Minister." Mr. Speaker, let's remember that national security agenda, abolishing our armed forces, scrapping the nuclear deterrent, withdrawing from NATO, voting against every single anti-terror law we tried, befriending Hamas and Hezbollah. He may want to forget about it, but we will remind him of it every week, because it's the Conservative government that will keep this country safe.
Well, he's an egregious little git, isn't he? But anyway, moving on. Remember that list that he read out, because we're going to debunk every single bit coming soon. However, this was Jeremy's response.
The right.
No, it wasn't. That was Rishi Sunak.
Minutes. Point of order, Jeremy Corbyn.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, I rise on a point of order concerning Prime Minister's question time yesterday, and I would like to inform the House that I have informed the Prime Minister, the Member for Richmond, that I was raising this morning. Yesterday, in answer to the Leader of the Opposition, he made reference to me. He gave me no advance notice that he was making such reference, which is surely the convention for all members of this House, including the Prime Minister. And secondly, he gave a wholly inaccurate representation of the 2019 election manifesto, which he must have been fully well aware of, because he took part in many debates concerning the content of that manifesto during the election campaign. Could you guide me, Mr. Speaker, on how the Prime Minister could correct the record? And if I'm going to live rent-free in his head, at least he could accurately reflect what I think and what I say, rather than inventions made up by him or his office.
I'd like to thank the right.
Massive fan of Corbyn jumping into meme culture with the whole rent-free in the head thing. Keep doing that, Jeremy. Keep at it. Keep delivering them zingers, walkhead. But anyway, two things there. Corbyn should have been given advance notice, but that's not the main point. The main point is the lies, and they are lies because it's a matter of public record. We will be going through that, but it goes on. This is the response from the deputy Speaker of the House, but also the leader of the House. And bearing in mind, the deputy Speaker is meant to be impartial. Check this.
Forward notice of it. Members are, of course, responsible for the content of their own remarks in the chamber. In respect of what is said in the House, parliamentary privilege allows all members the right of free speech to ensure that we can represent our constituents and express our views without fear or favour. But this is a right that we must exercise with great responsibility. So the Treasury bench will have heard... well, let me just finish and then I'll call the leader first. The Treasury bench will have heard that point of order, and I'm sure it will be passed on to the Prime Minister. Further to that point of order?
Further to that point of order. In all seriousness, as you know, Mr Deputy Speaker, I take rules on giving members notice very seriously, whether it's visits to constituencies or mentioning it in the House. So I shall certainly follow that up. But I suspect the Right Honourable Gentleman should be prepared for him to be discussed, and in particular the Leader of the Opposition's support for both him and the manifesto that he's done on, to be mentioned on at least a weekly basis. And if he would like to help correct the record, he could publish the manifesto that he stood on, which was weakened this country and dismantled NATO.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a further point of order on that, and then that's going to be it. I'm grateful to the Leader of House, the House for what she's just said. The manifesto is freely available. Had it resulted in a Labour government, we would not have such poverty, such food banks and such misery in this country today.
It would appear that it is not only the Prime Minister who lives rent-free in your head, Mr Corbyn. Separate point of order, Mr Wiggin.
Firstly, what the hell is that supposed to mean? It's not just the Prime Minister who lives rent-free in your head, Mr Corbyn. Breaking that down, he shouldn't be saying shit like that at all. Impartiality is clearly out the window. Also, what does he mean? Because Jeremy had just talked about food banks and all of the horrible poverty that the Tories, but before that, Labour, created the conditions for what we see now. So what's the thing he's trying to mug Corbyn off about? Also, Mordaunt, right? What is this about treating Jeremy as if he's like some kind of like non-person? Like he's not an elected representative of the people in Island North? Like, treat him exactly the same as everybody else. You're meant to have all these protocols and you're always banging on about respect. Oh yeah, we're going to be mentioning at least once a week. Well, Penny, how thick are you? Like, or would you mind publishing the manifesto that was like available like throughout 2019 and continues to be available on the Labour Party website? Like, what the hell are these people on about, man? There's not very clever people who are, it seems, who are elected. I guess there's maybe like a few that are, and they just control all these idiots who are there for the gravy train. I don't know. But this kind of crap, ridiculous. So, right, before we get into the debunking bit, let's take some comments. What he has got for it. Right, Joe McCauley's saying, hello, Joe, nice to see you, mate. Absolute delusion, she's a disgrace. That manifesto was the best this country would have seen and needed. It's obvious his manifesto would have not had us in the current shambles. Unbelievable. Absolutely spot on, Joe. Spot on. John O's saying, if StreamYard allows it now. Jono, people suffering from poverty live rent-free in my head too. Same, mate. It's the reason why I'm getting up here every day and doing this. I was a community worker for 20-odd years. Like, keep saying it. People have names and a face. It's not the poor, much like you think as well, pal. This stuff can't stand. If the media, who are absolutely, as we'll see later on, when we see a clip from Channel 4 News, the supposed good news, they're not fit for purpose, are they? Because they're not interrogating this stuff to the level it demands, which is the level of facts, which doesn't seem to be a thing to do with journalism these days. So this is why we're doing this. Another reason, because it's not getting interrogated. Things will get done, and you'll see I've sourced like the debunking from mainstream sources, but it's not. It's about amplification, and it's this thing called the sin of omission. They will omit this kind of stuff and not amplify it to the level of the slander. So whenever you go to point out, well, hold on a minute, when's this getting corrected? They'll point to this article I found buried on the BBC website and go, there you go. Ridiculous, isn't it? Compare and contrast. Like, nah, we can't have it. So if you're as against this as I am, please share this. If you want to support our work, please do, because we want to be here every day expanding and doing this more. We'll set up and develop this as far as you can fund it, because this cannot go on. We can't try and like create change, certainly through the electoral system, and then just like not have a media. And don't think it's just us doing it. There's loads of great outlets out there, and we're forming links with them every fucking day. But my God, you can probably tell I'm really aggrieved at this. So James Summers in Hollywood is saying it's 100% a gravy train, self-serving bastards in Parliament. Plus one on that, pal, with you there. John Chiansky Wilson, BBC's report in Scotland is the same. We call it misreport in Scotland. Absolutely shite, aren't they? Completely not for us as the people, it would seem at all. Dave Slaz, oh, Jeremy Corbyn, indeed, my friend. Shall we debunk some stuff? Aye, let's debunk some stuff. So anyway, it's kind of easy to do. This is the Labour Manifesto. You can find it at labour.org.uk from 2019. A cracking document. There was 163 economists wrote to the Financial Times at the time and said that Labour deserved to form a government based on the manifesto. You'll not see that reported very, very much, will you? But never mind. So what Sunak said in his points, supposedly the body bag Corbyn, was that he wanted to abolish the armed forces, he wanted to scrap the nuclear deterrent, he wanted to withdraw from NATO, he was supporting Hamas, we'll come on to that later, and he voted against every terror law, got all that covered as well. So what it says here, in the Labour Manifesto, Penny Mordaunt, is this: the primary duty of government is to guarantee the security of people in the UK. Labour's defence policy will be strategic and evidence-led. Our security at home is made stronger when the security of others elsewhere is guaranteed too. So there's the preamble, all right? An incoming Labour government will undertake a strategic defence and security review to assess the security challenges facing Britain, including new forms of hybrid, cyber and remote warfare. This review will also take account of the climate emergency and associated threats of resource competition, involuntary migration and violent conflict. Honestly, it boils my absolute piss. Look at what we're seeing now with my involuntary migration due to climate and warfare and others. This was a well-thought-out document. Unbelievable the way it's been slandered and the people who put it together. Anyway, it goes on. Under the Conservatives, Boris Johnson refused to publish the report into possible foreign interference by Russia and UK democracy. And he had the cheek to call Corbyn, Vladimir Corbyn, in Parliament. Right, that utterly wants to be released. But I suppose it's not in the national interest about alleged collusion. Anyway, trained army personnel under the Tories have been cut from 102,000 to just over 74,000. So Sunak sitting there saying that, like, they're the parties to secure the nation. Are they really? Armed forces and their families have been forced to live in substandard accommodation. Tories haven't fixed that, but yet they use all of this, like, oh, you know, how's a homeless veteran? Look at all this invasion. Lies. Once again, utter lies. It goes on. Failing outsource contracts have not been terminated. Our armed forces personnel received below inflation pay rises for 7 years. The security challenges we face know no borders. Labour will increase funding for UN peacekeeping operations to 100 million. We will maintain our commitment to NATO and our close relationship with our European partners, and we will use our influence at the United Nations to support peace and security worldwide. Louder for the people at the back. Highlighted. The security challenges we'll face We face no borders. Labour will increase funding for UN peacekeeping operations to 100 million. Highlighted, we will maintain our commitment to NATO. That is absolutely different from withdrawing from NATO. That's a clear lie. And they're basing it on this document, which Mordaunt is like, oh, maybe Jeremy would like to publish the... He didn't have to publish the document. It was the fucking Labour Party. It's still there. Like, what's happened within the Labour Party has led to this. We haven't got time today to deep dive into that, but there's a playlist on the channel. Should I vote for Labour? There's hours of this stuff there. So please go watch the playlist so we can keep this moving. And we will maintain our commitment to NATO and our close relationship with our European partners, and we will use our influence that unite the nations to support peace and security worldwide. So what they're really saying is like they were going to go in there and use their vetoes to stop wars and things like that. That's what this is really about, and that's the coded language that we've got here. But a matter of public record, as you see on the screen there, Sunak, liar. It goes on. Labour will publish a defence industrial strategy white paper, including a national shipbuilding strategy that keeps all Royal Navy and Royal Fleet auxiliary shipbuilding contracts in the UK to secure a long-term future for the industry and its workers. Fantastic. That's what we need. We need the jobs to come back. And who are the people who've outsourced them around the world? The fucking Tories. And I swear to God, the Labour right and the Blairites would do exactly the same. This is fantastic and what the world needs, and it would have solved a lot of bloody problems in terms of jobs and the narrative around immigration and things of that nature. Because these are things that haven't just like happened overnight. They've been happening for a long time. Who remembers Labour's mug during the Ed Miliband era where they'd sort out immigration or whatever it said? Absolutely ridiculous. It goes on. And listen to this one. Labour supports the renewal of the Trident nuclear deterrent. Sunak, liar, got up in Parliament and said scrapping nuclear deterrent. Where's the fucking... Seriously, where's the accountability? It shouldn't be left to people like us to like have... This isn't even accountability. Because like not everybody who needs to see this is going to see this. It's crazy that the media are just complicit in this. But when you actually look at who funds these things, it's not that bloody crazy, really, when you think about it. I should probably calm down a little bit. I'm skipping my audio, so I'm just adjusting it there, just so I can shout a bit more. So anyway, it's going on. Labour supports the renewal of the Trident nuclear deterrent. I'm going to say it again. Labour supports the renewal of the Trident nuclear deterrent. It couldn't be any clearer there in the Labour manifesto referenced in Parliament, which nobody appears to be doing anything in terms of correcting the record. Crazy. Labour will also actively lead multilateral efforts under our obligations to the Non-Proliferation Treaty to create a nuclear-free world. That's just part of international law that's been signed up to. You mean somebody's actually going to do something to the letter of the law now? Also, it goes on. Labour's commitment to spend at least 2% of GDP on defence will guarantee that our armed forces are versatile and capable of fulfilling the full range of roles and obligations. Isn't it bloody ironic, right, that the so-called like traitor party, or like led by Corbyn at least, they are the ones who would have funded the armed forces? Because they know we need a defence force. Nobody's bloody disputing that. We just don't want to be going off on all these oil wars and creating refugees down the line and having the problems that we are now facing. Honestly, I swear to God, like when us as a movement were the people trying to get this, get Labour elected in 2017, 2019, if you've never watched before, absolutely wouldn't do that now. But when we were doing that, when we talk about the trauma that we faced, it wasn't about some losing a fucking football match or something like inconsequential. It was about millions of people living in poverty, but also the lies around it. This manifesto was fucking brilliant. Well, it was decent enough. It, for me, it needed to go further. But Look at the absolute state of the discourse around the 2017 and 2018 elections. Shite. I mean, I'm sitting here on my own in the fucking studio, screaming into a fucking camera. I'm so fucked off about this now. And I don't give a fuck about politics at all. I'm only doing this whole politics shit because this is one of the methods where you can actually get people fed who are hungry. Like, if we don't try, or like whatever small contribution that we're making to correct the record here, then lies get around the world before the truth has a chance to put its fucking boots on. So please, if it's not this bit of content that we've made, share somebody else's who's done it. Whatever it is, man, please don't be belittled by people, because the problem is now flying monkeys were created because people were brought into the like voting for the Tories. Like, obviously Brexit was used as a leverage and whatever, we all know this. And now it's like that football match mentality where it's like, haha, you got done, you got beaten, all that, not realizing that it's completely and utterly against their own interests. Like, these are people that I grew up with, man. These are people we all grew up with. Like, Corbyn didn't get in. And I don't care about Corbyn either, really. I care about him as a human being. But it's what the way people pitch that, it's what he symbolizes, you know what I mean? And what he symbolizes to us is very different what he symbolizes to other people. But it's quite often because, like, people actually took the time to find all this shit out for themselves. Right, so there was another point here that Sunak brought up. Voting against every terror law, right? Now, let's interrogate that. And this here from the BBC. Just bear with us. I'll just make this full screen on a screen sharer. So anyway, this is the actual crack here, right? So this is from the BBC Reality Check from the 1st of June, 2017. So we're currently in 2022, and this is 5 years ago, right? There's a quote here from the Home Secretary at the time. Excuse me. I'm shocked that Jeremy Corbyn, just in 2011, boasted that he had opposed every piece of anti-terror legislation in his 30 years in office. Now, I mean, like, we can take the word boasted out because Jeremy doesn't really do the boasting thing. I've never seen him boast about a thing in his life. It'd probably make him incredibly embarrassed. But anyway, further quote, this is from Jeremy in the same BBC election debate. Can I just remind you that in 2005, Theresa May voted against the anti-terror legislation at that time. She voted against it, as did David Davis, as did a number of people that are now in your cabinet because they felt that the legislation was given too much executive power. Oh, isn't that bloody interesting? So anyway, we're going to like cherry pick from these because it's got different examples here. One of them being the Terrorism Act 2000. Theresa May was absent from the final vote. Corbyn voted against it. Fine. No problem. What we have here? Anti-Terrorism Crime and Security Act 2001. May voted for it at the second reading. Corbyn voted against it. Okay. 14-day detention, though. This was a measure contained in the Criminal Justice Act 2003. Boo, boo, death of all raves. Decent ones anyway. Which allowed the police to question terrorist suspects for up to 14 days. Theresa May voted against it. Corbyn voted against it. Context, the Conservative front bench opposed the act, saying it gave too much power to then Home Secretary David Blunkett. And I agree. And as should anybody, because Blunkett was a fucking mayor. Right, one more. There's loads more. Control orders. The creation of control orders was contained within the 2005 Prevention of Terrorism Act, a form of house arrest. Control orders were replaced by Terrorism Prevention and Investigation Measures, or TPIMS, in 2012. May voted against it. Corbyn voted against it. Context, the Conservative front bench opposed the act. David Davis, who was Shadow Home Secretary at the time, said the legislation had clearly been very badly drawn up. Mr. Corbyn voted against it. He has previously described control orders as damaging to community relations. He said they make people less rather than more cooperative with the police and everyone else. Right then, as we can see, right? Further lies out of the mouth of Sunak, which is, I mean, how we all know he's a liar. I mean, I've still got problems with him for leaving us virtually destitute during the pandemic. Got zero fucking pounds. Cheers, pal. You fucking dick. And then they like went around lying that like everybody was looked after. Mint. Nice one. Cheers for that. But anyway, moving on from that, because it's not about me, is it? So we've already debunked these points. Abolishing the armed forces, what a load of shit. And I mean, if anybody at all is believing that, then they're probably absolutely off the nut, or they're just so pickled by propaganda, or both, that like they just don't know how to like perceive reality anymore. Also, scrapping the nuclear deterrent. Well, we've proved that's a load of shit. And I mean, geez, man, another one where like you believe this shit, man. Go and read, man. And withdrawing from NATO clearly debunked it as well. Voting against every terror law. Well, contextually, so were the Tories at the time. So were people that were in the fucking cabinet, and so did the fucking Home Secretary, David Davis, on some of them. Like, this is the thing. Where's the media interrogating this man? It shouldn't be left to some dafty like me to be doing this. Please tell me if there's anybody else like sitting down and point by pointing this in good faith, because guess what? If I thought that any of this had any veracity, I would say, Alice would say, anybody involved with Milk the Cow would say, this isn't like some kind of partisan thing. It's about the truth, and the truth should never be left on the shelf, man, ever. So the last point, right, is Hamas, right, always bandied around. And I think the best thing to do, right, is give Jeremy the word on this, because it's affecting him. So this is what he said when he was like fucking interrogated, but not in a good way, by Krishnan Guru Murthy, who might call Brexit people cunts and then get stood doing for a week. But check this out, man. Such bad faith.
On affairs, why did you call Hamas and Hezbollah your friends?
What I did was spoke at a meeting in which I said I wanted all people involved in the Middle East issue to come together and be able to have a discussion, to be able to discuss. Can you allow me to finish? Do you mind?
Yeah, but I asked you a question and you're ignoring it.
No, I'm not ignoring the question. If you'd give me a minute, I'll answer it. The point is this.
Friends?
Listen for a minute, if you don't mind. I spoke at a meeting about the Middle East crisis in Parliament. And there were people there from Hezbollah. And I said, I welcomed our friends from Hezbollah to have a discussion and a debate. And I said I wanted Hamas to be part of that debate. I have met Hamas in Lebanon, and I've met Hezbollah in this country in Lebanon. I've also met...
So are they your friends or not?
Can I finish? Can I finish? I've also met...
Well, you can't if it's a long answer.
Look, the issue is this. You are not prepared to discuss the whole issue of the Middle East. You're not prepared to discuss the wider question. The wider question is, Hamas, Hezbollah are part of a peace process. Even the former head of Mossad says that there has to be talks involving Hamas. I've also had discussions with people from the right in Israeli politics who have the same view, possibly, that the state of Israel should extend from the river to the sea, as it is claimed people from the Palestinian side do.
And I'm very happy for you to make all of that clear. But right. I'm saying you use these words, friends. Now, are you saying they're not your friends? Or are you saying they are your friends?
I'm saying that people I talk to, I use it in a collective way, saying our friends were prepared to talk to. Does it mean I agree with Hamas and what it does? No. Does it mean I agree with Hezbollah and what they do? No. What it means is that I think to bring about a peace process, you have to talk to people with whom you may profoundly disagree. There is not going to be any peace process unless there is talks involving Israel, Hezbollah and Hamas. And I think everybody knows that.
But as you know, the controversy is around you calling them friends. And you've explained, I think, that when you said that, you didn't mean that they're friends. Is that fair?
I used it in a collective way at a discussion, and you're trying to trivialise the whole issue of the Middle East. You're trying to trivialise the whole discussion about how you bring about a long-term peace process.
I like it when Jeremy gets angry. I mean, like, I'm not saying you should do it more because, like, I'm the person who should get angry less. So that would be a bit of a hypocrite to be, oh, I can't even really speak on that, you know? I'd like to be more calm like Jeremy. But I think Jeremy should be a bit more aggy because I like it. I like this version of him. He's well within his rights to, like, utterly push back against all of this crap. That was such bad faith stuff. Krishna Guru, oh, well, your answer's too long. Well, you asked a question, so shut up and listen. How about that? Learn to interview somebody and not, like, interrogate them, which is what is a clear agenda. That should have been the end of it. We all, like, bloody hell, I call people my friend all the fucking time because, like, I may not like them, right? But, and I'm sure we all do this as well. It's a collective term. If you're trying to, like, especially establish peace talks, which is Jeremy's done that all his life, the whole IRA thing and all of that, without Jeremy, Mo Molan wouldn't have been teed up to, like, help with the Good Friday Agreement. And Blair certainly wouldn't have, like, claimed all the fucking, all the credit for it. But then that's been flipped around and propagandized against Jeremy. And we've all seen it. And anybody like us and yourselves who points this out get called cranks. Isn't that really, really weird? Weird if you don't know what the hell's bloody going on. What the problem was, right, for the establishment, Jeremy challenged them in 2017. And as you've seen by the manifestos from 17 and 2019, they were absolutely quality, fully costed, and would... If you look at the state of the country now, the country wouldn't look like it does now. I mean, like, how that could even be debatable, other than the fact that these vested interests would have moved against them anyway, so that could have stopped it. But doesn't that just expose the establishment, and wouldn't that have been a good thing at the time too? Because we could actually see what we're really dealing with here, which is, as we've seen from the Labour files and the Ford report and other places too, there was a hell of a lot going on internally within the Labour Party. And where are the people, right, standing up for Jeremy and supporting him now? Socialist Campaign Group, where the fuck are you? At least yous. You're gonna, like, I haven't even seen yous compose some kind of mean tweet or some daft letter. That means fuck all. Like, it's about time that so-called socialist stood up. Look at what's happening to Ian Byrne within the party. MP of the year and a really sound bloke. They're trying to deselect him. And if it's not him, it'll be you next. Or are you just waiting for that? Like, is that what you're doing? Are you just waiting to get deselected? And I can only think it's because of the salary. I don't understand, unless you've been lent on elsewhere, why you aren't coming out and pushing back against this. Because these are all clear lies that Sunak is standing up and saying. We know it's not coming from the front bench. Starmer's not going to do it. This was triggered because Starmer has an absolute Achilles heel and open goal, and rightly so. He's absolutely and utterly made himself look like a right dafty, because the Tories can just keep mentioning these things about, like, because he participated in the slandering of a good man in Jeremy Corbyn, and now he's intimately linked to him because he was doing the duplicity thing, certainly during his leadership pledge campaign lies. He's a liar too. He broke every one of those 10. The entire system is fucked. Fucked. And we need to understand that. Now, we need a new party. It's absolutely clear. And I don't for one minute think that, like, the ballot box is the only solution to this at all. But we need to start generating some hope. So, Jeremy, they all hate you. We love you. How about fucking them off, jumping in with us and others, getting it moving? Let's fucking do it, man. It's been time to do it. We need it. We need the unions, the Mick Lynchers, the Dempseys, the Pidcocks, all of that. Ask Laura Pidcock about that in a podcast that came out publicly yesterday, came out for patrons last week. If you want to see that, it's freely available for everybody on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Also, going forwards, if you want to see things early, see things first, sign up to PAT, raon.com /CowDaily. That's patreon.com/CowDaily. And you'll get early access to those podcasts there. Nice community building up, and really nice to see the upsurge in patrons since we've been going daily. Honestly, man, like every time one comes in, it's not just the money, it's the fact that you believe in us. And for the longest time when I was ill and whatever, I didn't even believe in myself. And if it wasn't for people like messengers like yourselves and people in my life, I don't even know where what would have happened. So thank you. Seriously, thanks. And I don't want this to come over like some kind of mad monetary grift, because it's not. We just need to keep the fucking lights on. We need to keep holding the bastards to account. And with your help, that's exactly what we're going to do. And we'll keep turning up. Let's take some comments before we go on. Right, Jacqueline Hemmings is saying, basically they're committing slander against Jeremy Corbyn and they probably can't be held accountable for it. Well, let's start developing systems of accountability. Let's start doing it. Nobody's going to come along and do it. Let's do it, man. Let's set up a fucking party. Let's do it. Let's do it. So Joanna's saying, be good podcast with Laura. It is, mate. And Laura's the one who makes it. She's absolutely one of your own. Zoe's saying, 100% behind a new party. Miss Gillam is saying, let's get the forum buzzing. Indeed. What we really want to do is move away from Facebook. Like, simple as that. And I'll tell you why, like, over there. But we're going to start using that a hell of a lot more on Discord and obviously the Patreon side of things as well. And it would be better if we could talk privately about certain things that would get banned probably from social media. And now daft. I mean, yeah, we're on Facebook now. Bye. Can't talk about that. So Michael Dines saying, thanks for watching on YouTube as well, Michael. There's nothing wrong with anger. Very little social changes come about without the use of targeted anger. We have to learn to channel our justified anger to make it useful. I agree, mate, we do. And I need to get better at it. Absolutely. Anyway, please do comment, rate, and subscribe, all that good stuff. If you can, become a patron and support the advance of this work. I'm banging into it at the minute, and I'm absolutely blessed that I'm healthy enough to be able to do this, and I'm just going to like ride this train as far as it can go. And with your help, I swear to God, we can do whatever you want. Moving the mountains like we're the shaman or something. Anyway, catch us later, pals. Much love to all as ever. See you on Monday, potentially over the weekend, so keep your notification bells on, because the odd time we might pop up, you know, something happens, and we're going to probably do some kind of Sunday thing as well at some point. Also going forwards, you see behind, got the decks back out and all of that. We're just going to start doing some like mad radio shows, music, and I might do the odd live mix or something like that just for the crack. So sign up to the mailing list and you'll find out more. Links in the description. Cheers, chaps. See you Monday, if not before. Much love.